Sports Talk continues with Jimmy Hyams. I'm John Wilkerson, and we head to the Stanley Fencing and Gates hotline as we get to say hello to Jesse Smithy of Five Star Preps. As this afternoon, Jesse, or I should say this morning, I know it had to be a lot of fun to actually talk more football than board meetings.
I was just excited just to see football players and see football jerseys and coaches and some administrators. So it was good just to get out and see the faces again and the people that you've been texting and calling during the pandemic. And so whether we get to have a season or not, or if it's condensed or whatever, it was just good to be a part of something football related.
To be out at Three Ridges, and it, as we talked about some during News and Notes, it was another fantastic event. There's always excitement and enthusiasm, but what were you most enthusiastic or excited to either talk to players and or coaches and or administrators about?
I would say the first thing I really started to ask coaches about would be if they've started adjusting their schedules. I've already heard of a few games that have been canceled that maybe hasn't been released publicly. But when the TSSAA presented four plans for the high school football season during their Board of Control meeting on July 1st, coaches started to get into scramble mode a little bit, because if they were going to reduce down to seven or eight games, then they wanted to go ahead and be prepared to figure out what their region games are going to be, and that's going to be determined by the TSSAA if they implement one of those plans. But then some of them have a few slots in their schedule they would still have to fill. And so I talked with coaches about that today and if they've made any moves or made any calls. And I actually got to witness firsthand a couple of the coaches just talking to each other and saying, hey, if we do this, do you think we could pick up a game with you guys? And so that doesn't happen. That doesn't happen in July. These are 2-year contracts that are usually locked up well in advance, and here they are in July when they should be doing preparations and 7-on-7s, or maybe trying to find a last minute scrimmage. They're trying to maybe jockey themselves and move their chess pieces and try to find a certain game or two to fill up a schedule if one of these options that the TSSAA went over is actually put into place.
Jesse, when do you think we will really know when one of these options is put into place? Are you willing venture out there and take a guess?
Well, the next Board of Control meeting that we actually know about is July 22nd, and that's supposed to be for classification, but so was the Board of Control meeting for July 1st. So that's the one thing that we know that is cemented, is that they will be convening and actually doing that in person at Siegel High School on July 22nd. Siegel's over in Murfreesboro, and that'll be a 2:00 Eastern meeting. And again, that's supposed to be a workshop session for the next classification cycle, but wouldn't surprise me if it becomes a little hybrid meeting, and because Bernard Childress has gone on record as saying he'd like to have a plan in place by the end of the month. And July 2nd or 22nd is very close to the end of the month, and so I think he's trying to give the governor's office a couple more weeks. They last met on July 8th. Next meeting is July 22nd. That's two full weeks for them to analyze data further and maybe make a decision on if they're going to classify high school football in the same realm as college football and pro football. But right now, when you start to look at the landscape of college football, which often influences high school football, it's you got to wonder if the governor's office is going to take that into account, if the TSSAA is going to take that into account, how college football is trimming back their schedule right now to league games only. And so we'll see what type of influence that has on their decision, if any.
Don't you think the high school football coaches – and the guy that runs Five Star Prep would like to know before July 22nd?
We would have liked to know a couple months ago. That's how we all operate. And I even asked some of these coaches today, I was like, how are you guys dealing with this? Because as I've said on y'all's show many times, they're creatures of habit. They like to have things planned out and do that well in advance and know what they're going to do each day of the summer. And they passed out all those plans to parents and players. And it changes by the day. It changes by the week. And so they're actually having to practice what they preach with players. When they preach to players that, hey, things are going to change crazy, during the game. It's not going to always go as planned, and here they are having to put their own words into practice.
We've talked about it already, Jesse, with the TSSAA has requested that it be put in essentially the same classification as pro sports, as college and universities. Do you find that coaches are – do you think that there's any back and forth in terms of where they stand on that? I know on the one hand, if they are indeed given that kind of rating or classification by the by the governor, then they can go ahead and go with their season as is. And if that's the case, I know that that's what would be the most enjoyable for coaches in their programs. But there's also, do you think there's any pushback from some coaches in the sense that you're talking about, say, 14 to 18-year-olds being looked at in the same way that you would 18 to 22-year-olds and, of course, professional athletes that are in their 20s into their 30s?
Yeah, that some of the coaches I've talked to really find themselves in a tough spot on how to approach this all, because on one hand they have deeply competitive type of parts of their DNA, and so they want nothing more than to start this season on time and to do it how they plan, play a full regular season schedule, play full playoffs, and just go full steam ahead. And some of that frustration that they might have is because they see some of their colleagues down in Georgia or Alabama or Texas, Louisiana, I believe Kentucky now too, are all seemingly going forward with fall sports. But they also have this conundrum of wanting to protect those 14 to 18-year-olds and doing what's best for them. We've seen some high school programs this week go ahead and cancel practices because they know that all these high school kids or a majority of their rosters were down in Florida last week, or maybe they're down at a different beach. And so it's imperative that they take that into account and realize that they've been out of state. They've been around people possibly that have COVID-19. And so they decided to go ahead and extend their dead period another week just because they have to be protective of these teenage kids and keep it from spreading. And they know that if they start getting a spike in cases within their own program, it's likely going to trickle into possibly the other communities. And so it's hard. It's hard for these coaches to temper their competitive nature and put health and safety at the forefront of it all. I mean, they already do that as it is with concussions and heat and safety regulations, and here's just another thing that they need to take into consideration.
Our guest, Jesse Smithy, a five-star prep, says he joins us on the Stanley Fencing and Gates hotline. As the TSSAA continues to mull what option it's going to pursue for football as well as girls soccer, do you think there's any influence from what neighboring states or other high school associations are doing, or do you think this is all governor's office, how the TSSAA feels, and its board of control and state and local authorities?
Well, I've been able to interview Bernard Childress kind of one-on-one for a couple of different podcast episodes, and that's one thing that he and I always talk about is just how often he's in communication with associations from Kentucky or North Carolina, Virginia, or Georgia, and they talk with regularity. So I'm sure Bernard Childress and the staff at the TSSAA have noticed what Georgia is doing, and Georgia's going full steam ahead with their high school football, and Alabama's doing the same, and Kentucky came out today and announced that they're going to have fall sports in some form or fashion. And so I'm sure that they're taking into account and maybe calling those associations to see what they used to make that decision and what data they used to make that decision that maybe Tennessee could possibly put into play. But I think right now, in the short term, the TSSAA is putting its eggs in the basket of Governor Lee and hoping that he makes a decision to possibly let them start the season on time.
Jesse, did you say you thought there might have been a silver lining to the TSSAA delaying the decision earlier this week?
Right. I mean, the silver lining is just what we're talking about, is that the governor hasn't said no. Okay. He hasn't said no to the TSSAA's request to try to start the season on time. And that, going back to something we talked about earlier, had there been a vote Wednesday, I think you would have seen just kind of an avalanche of coaches starting to cancel games or reschedule games and doing all that because maybe, say maybe option two was picked and there's an 8-game regular season, they need to chop off a couple of games. Well, what if later on the governor says, okay, we can start on time? Well, then there'd be mass chaos of just trying to reschedule games and recoup games, and then the TSSAA would come under fire for that. So it was almost a no-win situation Wednesday with what they did with their meeting. But the silver lining was there's still optimism that if the numbers improve a little bit or show reason to improve over a course of time, that we might get to start on time.
Hey, what'd you think of the twins from Central, Liam and Caleb Fortner, committing to Army?
I thought it was a great opportunity, and the more I learn about those two young men and their family, it wasn't surprising. I didn't know this until a couple of days before their commitment, but I didn't know that both of his parents had actually served, I think, with the Navy in some capacity. So when you grow up in a household like that, and maybe your parents have that type of mentality towards life and maybe raise you in the same way, it's not so much of an intimidation factor when Army approaches you or when Air Force approaches you. You know that you can handle that way of life or adjust to it quickly. And so when you talked to Caleb Fortner or Liam about their decision, they were totally enticed by Army, and not just the football aspect of it, but what they could do, what Army can do for them for the rest of their life. And so I was excited that both of them get the opportunity. For Liam is a guy that I saw him today, and he just looks like a completely different person. He had a breakout season last year and really started to make a name for himself and step out of his brother's shadow. And I think he's going to continue to do that this fall and even be a better receiver and possibly a safety in the secondary. He looked to be like 6'2", 6'3", today. And I know Bryson Rosser always spoke well of him, and so does new coach Nick Craney. And, of course, Caleb has been my defensive player of the year, my defensive underclassman of the year, a 5A championship MVP player. So Army's getting two great players from East Tennessee, no doubt.
It's been a pretty nice run this summer for the Bobcats, simply for the fact that the good news just continues. Consider all things considered and where situations lie, but it wasn't that long ago that they had the surprise visit from Bryson Rosser as he was on hand when they got their second straight championship ring. Then they were able to celebrate graduation, and now you get not one, but with the Fortners on their way after committing to West Point, this is it's a great time to be in Fountain City, don't you think?
It is, and you can tell when those guys walk in the media day now, I mean, you just see the confidence. It's not arrogance, it's not swag, it's just a quiet confidence, and I think people respect that program once again. And so what they've been able to do really over the last 5 or 6 years under Bryson Rosser, and probably will continue under Dick Craney, is something to be respected. And so not only will the attention that the Fortners bring because of their commitment help that program, it's going to help the kids around them as well. As film gets out about the Fortners, or coaches possibly stop by if they're able to somewhere down the line, they're going to get to see the other talent at Central High School, and there's other talent there.
And it is, while we have not seen camps and things going on as you would expect them to normally, still you have schools like Central Michigan that are reaching into East Tennessee to try and lure players to their program, correct?
Yeah, they just recently offered Alcoa defensive end Taharen Suterith, and Taharen is a guy that's gotten offers from Temple and a number of other Division I programs out there. He's somebody that I spoke with today and really enjoyed my conversation with. A lot of charisma and energy about that young man, and he's somebody that just popped into the lineup last year as a junior at Alcoa and now going into his senior year. And he talked about how he's changed his diet and how he changed his preparation just by working out with Gray Carroll. And, of course, Gray is a Georgia Tech commitment. And so Taharen doing everything that he can to better himself. And then those offers keep rolling in for him. He's an impressive-looking young man. And it's going to be interesting to see him play a little offense this year from the fullback position at Alcoa, and he's also going to be out there on the defensive end side.
you mentioned the work that he's done as an individual, and especially when it comes to nutrition. And yeah. How different is that in terms of all you've seen, all you've covered in these parts, when you see these young men have this kind of mindset that, I mean, it just seems like, okay, when I get to college, maybe I'll be able to go the smoothie route or something like that. But you also did a feature you all did on Eli Purcell, who has also done incredible work in retooling his physique. What's it like to see these like-minded individuals at the high school level do so much work in such a very specific part of the approach to making themselves the best athletes they can be?
Well, we've all had the metabolism of a 15-year-old at one point in our lives, and so you could eat what you wanted to and drink what you wanted to, and it just never seemed to really affect you that much. But over the last 10 to 12 years or so, as these athletes continue to work closer and closer with personal trainers or just guys like that, or certain facilities that they go to, I'm sure they get hammered with nutritional knowledge. You need to be doing this. You need to be doing that. And when it works for one of their teammates, they're going to try it too. And Greg Carroll's been able to up his physique from, you know, 240 last year, 245 to about 255 this year. And I'm sure it piqued the interest of some of his teammates. So there you see Taharen Suter working out with Greg Carroll and learning what he knows. And so they all want to be college ready. They all want to play right away. And to do that, you got to not only take your academics seriously and your athletics seriously, but your nutrition and how you present your body as a college freshman.
Jesse, what are you looking forward to working up from all that you and Danny Parker were able to experience and the folks you were talking to today?
Yeah, we got about 16 to 20 videos that we're going to be unveiling over the next week or so. We have a couple up on our YouTube channel right now. We've also posted those on all of our social media platforms. So a lot of interviews from today, a lot of photos that we'll be doing, and a couple of articles that will be coming out of it as well. We're going to continue to roll out season previews coming up, and we'll have a preview on Gatlinburg-Pittman today. And so just a lot of content to be able to come out of today's media day. So that's nice to have.
Jesse, we always appreciate it. Thank you so much. Enjoy your weekend, and we look forward to catching up with you next week.
All right. Thanks, John. Thanks, Jimmy.
Thanks, Jesse.
Thank you. Jesse Smithy, a 5-star prep.